Words from the Gospel. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When we encounter Jesus in this morning's gospel reading, Luke tells us that he's just spent the night out on a mountaintop praying, and at daybreak has chosen his 12 disciples, coming down the mountain with them to stand on a level place, surrounded by crowds who'd come from all over to be healed and to have evil spirits cast out. And it's here, surrounded by these crowds, that Jesus lifts his eyes towards his disciples and says, "Blessed are you." Luke's recounting of the Beatitudes mirrors and also contrasts with the version told in Matthew's gospel. And yet in Matthew, Jesus ascends a mountain, echoing Moses, and proclaims 9 blessings, including "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Luke's scene is flatter and much more communal. Jesus stands among the people and offers 4 blessings and 4 woes. And Jesus' Beatitudes in Luke are earthy, direct, and physical. Blessed are you who are poor, not poor in spirit. Blessed are you who hunger now, not those who hunger for righteousness. This is because Luke's focus is not on interior piety, but on God's transformation of the real conditions of human life. And in contrast to Matthew, who only offers blessings, Luke pairs his Beatitudes with 4 woes. Woe to you who are rich, to you who are full now. Which makes the point that God's kingdom overturns human hierarchies even more forcefully. In Luke's gospel, Jesus does not spiritualize poverty, but instead blesses the actual poor and challenges those whose wealth blinds them to the needs of their neighbors. On All Saints Sunday, this vision sets the stage for how we understand sainthood, an understanding that rejects saints solely as being people of high moral achievement or mystical detachment, and instead understands sainthood as sharing the level ground where Jesus blesses the brokenhearted and hungry. The Beatitudes are not statements of congratulation, but instead speak of reversal instead of reward. They reveal a strange grammar of holiness, the reality that those who seem left behind by society are in fact closest to the heart of God. Our reading from Ephesians picks up this same theme. Paul writes not to saints who are already perfect, but to ordinary Christians sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, people who are holy not because they've mastered virtuous living, but because they belong to Jesus Christ. This reveals a truth about sainthood. It is a vocation grounded in grace. Saints are those people who have discovered, sometimes, even often amidst pain and strife, that God's kingdom begins where our human resources end, and that holiness is not the absence of human weakness, but the courage to let that weakness be redeemed by God. When Jesus blesses the poor and warns the rich, he's not romanticizing poverty or condemning wealth as such. In the same way as in last week's readings, the publican wasn't canonized and the Pharisee condemned. Instead, he's declaring that the tables are turned in God's kingdom, that in God's kingdom, those who have nothing discover everything, and that those who hoard abundance may find it empty. This is why well-known saints appear so free in accounts of their lives. They've discovered joy in relationship with God, a joy that is not contingent on human success or approval. Saint Francis of Assisi found joy in giving everything away. Mother Teresa found joy among the dying, believing that in order to live well, we must each die daily, emptying ourselves so that God can fill us more fully with his love. The last death, she wrote, was an easy one, a natural gradation, where at last we are completely empty and can reawaken, fully known in God's image. But the communion of saints is not merely a list of the glorious dead. It is a living fellowship of all people whom Christ has gathered into his mercy. People who now behold him face to face, and people like us who are still learning. In every Eucharist, we proclaim that with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we join in their unending praise of God. In that moment, the veil between heaven and earth becomes thin, and we are reminded that saints are not people at a distance, but indeed are our fellow worshipers. What unites us with them is God's mercy and grace, the same grace that gathered the poor of Galilee gathers us around this altar and nourishes us with the same grace. A few verses after today's reading, Jesus ends this part of what's called the Sermon on the Plain with the command, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Be merciful. This is another truth about sainthood. To love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to give without expecting anything in return. These are not heroic exceptions, but the daily work of holy living. Indeed, every time we forgive or act with kindness towards someone who cannot repay us, we join the company of the saints. In our reading from Ephesians, Paul prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to see that true power is found in deep and abiding love, that real wealth is found in boundless compassion, and that the resurrection light shines already in human weakness. All Saints Sunday invites us to share in that vision, to recognize the hidden blessedness in those who weep, who hunger, or who struggle, and to honor Christ in the faces of those the world forgets, and to remember that every act of mercy, no matter how small, is a participation in the holiness of God. Paul continues something he said several times in the reading, this idea that we have received an inheritance, which is not a private reward, but a shared participation in Christ's risen life, according to the working of God's power. The saints on the other side of the veil already share in that fullness, while we who yet struggle journey towards it. To live as heirs of that inheritance is to live Eucharistically, to receive everything as a gift, to give thanks, to trust in the hope of the resurrection, and to be broken open for the life of the world. The blessed and broken bread on the altar is indeed the perfect sign of the blessed and broken church gathered around it. This morning, as we remember the communion of saints, we remember our own belonging as members of Christ's body. Around this altar, we are joined to that vast company, the blessed and broken, the famous and forgotten, those who are renowned throughout history for their contributions to Christian life, and those whose names are known only to God. Their prayers uphold us, and their joy awaits us. And yet the saints are not distant stars, but nearby candles, each lit from the same Easter flame. Their light is meant to kindle ours and to encourage us in our earthly pilgrimage. So on this All Saints Sunday, let us give thanks for the communion of the blessed and the broken, for those whose lives pointed and point to Christ, revealing divine mercy and grace. Let us give thanks for those saints in our own lives whose love still shapes us, and for the grace that makes saints of sinners. And let us pray with Paul that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, that we may know the hope to which God has called us, and that when our pilgrimage is done, we may join the saints in light, in the eternal blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. May God give us grace to find it so. Amen.